Hi, this is the January 22nd, 2024 edition of Scholastic News for grades 5 and 6. I'm Chris Radio volunteer Karen Finnegan. On the front cover is a young boy covering his ears and making a grimacing face. And the headline reads, "Turn it down." Words to know about this article. Exposed. Verb, past tense. Left without protection from danger or harm. Prolonged. Adjective, continuing for a long time. You may not realize it, but your earbuds or headphones could be harming your hearing. As you hear this article, think about how can you make sure you listen to headphones or earbuds at a safe volume. Chances are you've worn headphones more times than you can count. You might wear them when you listen to music, play games, or watch videos on YouTube, but it may be time to turn down the volume. A study released in 2022 found that more than 1 billion teens and young adults worldwide could be at risk of hearing loss. The researchers say one main reason is the use of smartphones and other devices with earbuds or headphones. Many kids think they don't need to worry about protecting their hearing. One myth about hearing loss is that only older people like grandma and grandpa get it. That's not the case, says Michelle DiStefano. She's an audiologist, a doctor who specializes in hearing, at the Center for Hearing and Communication in New York City. Earbuds and headphones have become popular over time. Meanwhile, doctors say they've seen an increase in hearing damage among younger people. But there are some simple steps you can take to protect your ears and listen to devices safely. Too loud, too long. Even if you don't crank up the volume to the highest level, there's still a good chance you're playing your music or video games too loudly. DiStefano warns that the louder the sound, the less time you should be exposed to it. Sound is measured in units called decibels. Experts say listening to any sound louder than 85 decibels for prolonged periods can cause hearing damage. The 2022 study showed that it's common for young people to listen to smartphones and other devices at 105 decibels. Listening to sounds that loud for even a few minutes a day can harm your ears. Doctors point out that for many people, hearing loss is gradual. The damage can come on so slowly that they don't realize there's a problem until it's too late. And unfortunately, noise-related hearing loss can be permanent. Sound advice. The good news is that you can often prevent hearing damage. Audiologists say a good way to avoid problems is to be smart about using headphones and earbuds. Here are some tips. Ask a friend. If somebody else can hear your music from your headphones, then that means it's too loud, explains DiStefano. Check your settings. Most smartphones and tablets allow you to set your headphones on a certain level. On an iPhone, for example, the volume can be set to not go above 75 decibels. These devices can also send notifications to alert you if the sound is too loud for too long. A parent can help you find these settings on your device. Find the right fit. A pair of headphones or earbuds that fit snugly will limit outside noise so you can hear your music better at lower volumes. Take a break. Like every other part of your body, your ears need rest. That's true even if you're listening to headphones at a safe volume. DiStefano suggests using what's called the 60-60 rule. Play your device at or below 60% of maximum volume for no more than 60 minutes per day. Then let your ears enjoy the quiet. Sound check. This chart shows the decibel levels, dB, of some common sounds. 140 dB. A jet aircraft taking off from 100 feet away. 120 dB, a nearby siren as in an ambulance. 110 dB, maximum volume on a smartphone. 100 dB, football game in a stadium. 85 dB, risk of hearing damage starts here. 80 dB, a hairdryer. 60 dB, a normal conversation. And 30 dB is a soft whisper. Five big questions about running for president. It's only January, but many Americans are already thinking about November 5. On that day, people across the country will vote for the U.S. president. Here's what you need to know about this year's presidential election. Words to know. Campaigning. Verb. Working over a period of time to reach a goal, especially winning an election. Polls. Noun. Plural. Surveys of people's opinions or beliefs. Who can run for president? Not just anyone can hold America's most important job. The U.S. Constitution lists three requirements for the person who leads the country. They must be at least 35 years old. They must have lived in the United States for at least 14 years. And they must be a natural-born citizen. That includes anyone born in the U.S., as well as people who are born in other countries but have at least one parent who is an American citizen. Who's running this year? President Joe Biden is running for a second 4-year term. He will most likely be the nominee or choice of the Democratic Party. Much of the focus now is on the race to see who the Republican Party picks to run against him. What are these parties all about? Well, they have nothing to do with balloons or cake. Political parties are organized groups of people who have similar ideas about how the government should be run. The two biggest parties in the U.S. are the Democrats and the Republicans. Every 4 years, each party picks one candidate to run in the presidential election in November. The Democratic Party. The symbol is a donkey. Founded in 1828, it is the world's oldest active political party. Republican Party. The symbol is an elephant. Founded in 1854, it is nicknamed the Grand Old Party, or GOP. If the election isn't until November, why is everyone talking about it already? Running for president is a long process, and a lot of Republicans wanted to be their party's pick to challenge President Biden. Many of these candidates have spent months campaigning. They've traveled the U.S. to share their views on important issues with as many people as possible. Some also debated their opponents on TV so voters can compare the candidates' ideas for solving the country's problems. Several candidates have already dropped out of the race after failing to build enough support from voters. As Scholastic News went to press, polls showed that former President Donald Trump held a wide lead over the other Republicans still in the race. So how will the final candidates be chosen? By voting. But everyone won't be voting on the same day. Each state and Washington, D.C. will hold separate voting contests over the next few months. There are two types. Primary. This is similar to the national election. Voters cast secret ballots by mail or at a polling place, such as a school. Or caucus. People meet in groups to talk about the candidates and then vote for their top choices. The first caucuses and primary will be held this month. By the end of May, one candidate usually gains enough votes to become their party's final nominee. However, anything can happen in the coming months. Follow the race to the White House with Scholastic News. Civics. Sticker star. Rylynn Bolin loves to draw. So when the 10-year-old from Mount Vernon, New Hampshire, learned about a statewide art contest, she couldn't wait to enter. The contest invited fourth graders to design stickers that will be handed out to voters throughout the state. First, Rylynn brainstormed design ideas that would best represent her state. I tried to pick stuff that people like about New Hampshire, Rylynn explains. Then she asked her family to vote on which of her designs they liked best. Rylynn's final design shows a moose on a ledge overlooking brightly colored trees. New Hampshire's Mount Washington, the tallest peak in the Northeast, rises in the background. Rylynn submitted her sticker design last fall. It was one of more than 1,000 entries. After waiting a few weeks, Rylynn was excited to find out she was one of three winners. Her sticker will be handed out beginning January 23. That's when the state's primary elections will take place. Rylynn hopes her creation will encourage more people to vote. I can't wait until everyone in New Hampshire gets the voting sticker, she says. Picture this. There's a photograph of a bridge that looks to me like one of those DNA double helix things. It's twisted, but there's two sides of it. This bridge may look like something out of a fantasy movie, but it's definitely real. The Rui Bridge in the city of Taizhou in China is made of three wavy paths that go up and down like hills. The bridge connects two cliffs that are more than 300 feet apart. It hangs 460 feet above a canyon. That's more than 100 feet higher than the Statue of Liberty. Daring visitors can step onto a deck with a glass floor to get the full view of the canyon below. Debate it. Should schools teach cursive? Yes, says Nicholas Issa from New Jersey. We learn cursive at my school, and I think it's fun. I write all my notes in cursive. It's easier and faster than writing in print because I don't have to lift my pencil off the paper as often. I also find it easier than typing on the computer. Writing in cursive helps me focus. Some studies have found that learning to write in cursive improves your memory and helps you perform better in school. Not to mention, my handwriting just looks nicer when it's in cursive. No, says Nora Myers from Ohio. Cursive writing isn't relevant in 2024. I learned cursive in school, but I never use it. In fact, the only people I know who write in cursive are my teacher and my grandparents. It's much easier to read handwritten print or something that has been typed on a computer. Learning to type on a keyboard should be more of a focus in the classroom because everything is becoming more digital. It's a skill that we'll need much more for our future jobs. Learning to write in cursive used to be as common as learning to read or add, but today this flowing form of handwriting, also known as script, may look like a foreign language to many students. Lawmakers in California want to change that. Starting next school year, all public schools in that state will be required to teach cursive to students from first to sixth grade. California is joining 21 other states that have similar laws. Many people think it's important to learn cursive. They point out that kids need to know it to sign their names and to read historical documents like the U.S. Constitution. But others say cursive is outdated and shouldn't be included in the packed school day. They argue that teachers need to focus on core subjects like math and reading. News review. The loudest of the loud. As we read earlier, sounds are measured in decibels. A loud rock concert, for example, is about 115 decibels. This bar graph shows the decibel levels of some record-setting sounds. I'm looking at an infographic about the loudest of the loud on the back page. You may want to ask your parent, teacher, or guardian to help you with the questions related to it. There are also questions related to the rest of the issue that you can ask for help with. But I'll give you the subjects of the decibel levels. Loudest bark by a dog, loudest burp, loudest crack of knuckles, loudest purr by a cat, loudest scream, and loudest whistle. That completes the January 22nd, 2024 edition of Scholastic News for grades 5 and 6. I'm Karen Finnegan. So long until next time.